Hello and welcome to Book Club. Stories we remember from childhood, our special friends, books that remain our silent, treasured companions. As part of the BBC's Love to Read season, I've been able to choose one of my own favourites for this programme. Robert Louis Stevenson was easy, but would it be Treasure Island or Kidnapped? When I say that we're at the Hawes Inn in the village of South Queensferry on the Firth of Forth, many of you will know the result. It was from this building that young David Balfour was taken to be sold into exile in the Carolinas by his wicked uncle, and on the skiff that took him out to the ship in the water over there, the Covenanter, his wild adventure began. Across a troubled Scotland, divided by the 1745 Jacobite Rising, from which he would eventually emerge to claim his rightful inheritance. Stevenson, it's said, began to write Kidnapped in room 13 of the Hawes Inn, just up the stairs from where we are sitting. With me and this month's group of readers is Louise Welsh, author and Stevenson admirer, to take us through a story that's been a favourite of many generations of readers. Louise, welcome to Book Club.
Thank you.
For those sad individuals who don't know the story of Kidnapped, let's see if we can work our way through. I've given some indication. David Balfour, a young boy, at the beginning of the book, has lost his father, who's died. He sets off to visit his uncle, not far from here, and the old man tries to kill him, eventually sells him to be taken away and kidnapped, and then his adventure begins. And it's a terrifying story, isn't it?
It really is, and it's an adventure. You said there's sad people that haven't read it, but actually I almost envy them because they're in for such an amazing treat. And this is a story that takes us across the length of Scotland. It was a bromance, almost, of David Balfour and Alan Breck Stewart. And it's a really exciting, visceral, modernist journey.
And it takes place at a time when the King's soldiers are trying to suppress the Jacobites, who'd been routed at Culloden and were fleeing. Alan Breck Stewart is a Jacobite. He's wanted, and eventually, in the course of the story, is wanted for murder. And David has to become a man. He's still in his teens. And in a sense, at the heart of the story is the strange, unlikely and tangled friendship of Alan Breck and David Balfour.
Yes, and they really are opposites. It's youth with experience, conformity perhaps with adventure, a Whig with a Jacobite, a Catholic with a Protestant, and yet they are friends.
Let's get our first question here. Now, let's start.
Well, David Balfour is cautious, conservative, intellectual. Alan Breck, impetuous, instinctive, physical. And they're thrown together and have to cooperate to survive, despite representing two sides of Scotland that you'd expect to be at enmity. Are these the sorts of ingredients that you would look for in writing a novel?
Every novel, every good story, in my opinion, depends on tension and it depends on conflict. I think the conflict that is at the heart of this story, partly the characters with themselves and with each other and the wider conflict that's going on in the country, it just makes for a great tale. The unexpectedness of it. You know, Stevenson is a man who can see the humanity in other people. Stevenson's villains have humanity as well. I think it's typical of him that these two very different people actually form a wonderful, loyal friendship.
And there's great humanity, isn't there? Because at one point, Alan Breck is the man who has saved David Balfour's life, effectively. And Balfour is still able to feel terrible anger at one point about, you know, the Highlanders who are his friends and who'd tried to shield them. So there's always this struggle to come to a real friendship through all the kind of arguments and difficulties and barriers that are there, and we all recognise that.
Absolutely. They have repeated rows. They have arguments. There's a point even when David Balfour says, right, well, let's just fight, and he gets out. We can hear the train.
Yeah, I should say to listeners, that's a train going over the famous Forth Railway Bridge, which is right above us here, going over the Firth of Forth. It's now passed. It's either going to Aberdeen or Edinburgh. We don't know which, but there we go. Have we another question here? Yeah.
The whole landscape of Scotland is a character in the book, but it seems that water plays a special part. He crosses bits of water at various points. Do you think that that's a conscious artifice that Stevenson was using, or was it a coincidence of the geography?
Well, Stevenson is a man that is in love with the sea, really, isn't he? He adores the sea. And there's a wonderful moment in one of his letters when he's writing to his friend, and he said, oh, we had this wonderful voyage, you know, on a ship that had a cargo of matches and monkeys and horses, and the weather was dreadful, and we went up and down the swells, and we had the company of all these sailors. Everybody enjoyed it, except for my wife. And his poor wife's been throwing up. Stevenson adores the sea. I think it is no coincidence, because he puts a lot of his own experience into this book. His travels when he was doing an engineering apprentice for his father, who, of course, is a lighthouse engineer. And many of the places that Stevenson has visited appear in this book.
And when he died as a young man in his 40s, he was living in the South Seas, where he'd gone to try to help his health, you know, surrounded by water. I mean, he just loved the oceans.
He loved oceans, he loved travel, and he loved people as well. I was in Samoa earlier last year, where people still talk about Robert Lewis as if he just stepped out of the room. He's a great hero there because of his work against...